Welcome to Amiga Ireland. I'm Irla.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Luke.
In this episode, Eyebrows 2.5 has finally been released.
Learn about Amigas that never were.
And Doom on Amiga 500 with 1 megabyte of RAM, which is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. Before we get on to everything else, we've got news, games, events, and some tips coming up. How are you all doing?
But I've been over and back to Ireland a few times. Got some family stuff going on and busy with a whole bunch of repairs. So my wife and son are away in Ireland at the moment. So getting loads of work done in between going over and back to see them, you know. Working on a couple of new projects as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. How about you, Luke?
I've been working on RetroReady.1, preparing new projects and trying to be as up-to-date as possible regarding all that stuff. So my time's been shared between day job RetroReady.1 and my family. What about you?
My child has started secondary school, so getting used to a lot of change involves more free time during the day, but less free time in the evening while we get used to homework and all that kind of stuff. And outside of that, I've been, we're going to move the base of the AmigaUsers.ie website to somewhere a cheaper offering that's going to save us about €80 a year in cost. The catch is we have to drop WordPress, so I'm rewriting something. I'm writing something that a plugin we use to publish the podcast, PowerPress, it was called. So we're going to have our own code doing that now, and once that's finished, we'll be able to save a few more euro towards the events that way. And nobody will notice, though. If you're listening to the podcast, nothing will change, and if you're visiting the website, nothing will change. It'll all be in the back end. And that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So anyway, let's get on to the show. Link for everything we're going to talk about are on the website, AmigaUsers.ie, for this episode or on your podcast app. Right, let's move on to the news. WRP 4.4 has been released by Tenox. This allows you to access HTTPS sites from old computers. I've used this before and it works very well by rendering the web page as a GIF in your browser. The links are clickable though, so that's the clever part, so you can actually browse and navigate. This new version though is going to support text input and is actively being worked on, so you can click on a text box, for example, if you want to do a Google search. You'll be able to click on the text area, it'll take your text input and submit it to Google search or any website, a login presumably as well for something like, you know, Facebook or a forum. And so even though we have new versions of SSL out and there's a new version of Eyebrows we're going to talk about in a while, this will allow you to see everything, the CSS, just as it's intended. And you install this on another machine, your main computer, for example, and just tell Eyebrows, if using that as an example, to use your main machine as the proxy, and the websites will be fetched there, rendered as GIFs, and sent to your Eyebrows. Very nice, very clever, and it's being actively developed now on GitHub, so it's a good time to try it out and give some feedback, because he's been very responsive to any of the feedback I've given him.
Self-promotion here, but I've released a new version of ADFer, which is a little tool that's, it's based on the older ADF Blitzer. It's just a tool for reading and writing ADFs to and from floppy disk. So there was a small bug that was found in it, and I fixed it. It was just a small bug with menus getting stuck, enabling some of the options and not being able to switch them off again. So now that's fixed, and there's an update available on Aminet.
Fair play.
RNO PDF is an app to view PDF files. It comes from like a set of different tools under the flag of RNO. I think RNO is still a great demo scene group of people. But apart from that, they've been releasing very useful apps, and this version is available for Amiga OS 3.1 and MorphOS as well. So go and have a look.
Very nice. Final Writer teases a minor update is in the works, and this was posted by Terminalis on the Aros forum, showing features like PDF export and enhanced text layout, and there was a lot of enthusiasm for this on the thread. So if you're an Aros user, you can head on over to that thread and keep up to date when the release will be out.
Cool, and that should eventually find its way, because he was aiming to release an updated Final Writer on all the platforms, which is something to definitely look forward to.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. AMI Speed Test, which is by our very own Carl Jekyll, That's had an updated version, which basically just combines the two older versions where, you know, there's a shell version and a window version. So this one now opens up in a workbench window and can also be run from the shell with the same executable. So it's just a nice sort of tidy up of the package. But this is, if you haven't seen it before, this is one of these speed test programs that lets you connect to a nearby server and check your broadband speed or your internet connection speed. And yeah, that's it. But it's a nice little client for the Amiga.
Yeah, well done, Carl. Nice to tidy up those little bits.
Mm-hmm.
And the new version of AmiBerry Beta runs on the Odroid M2. It's one of the fastest platforms available, actually. I don't know a lot about it, but seems and looks interesting.
It supports 64-bit as well, actually, which is even more target devices. Mm-hmm. Issue 9 of Versus is being prepared at the moment. That's the 29 edition of the Disc magazine and charts for Amiga. Voting is opened and anyone can vote for their favourite Amiga demo or other categories, and you can visit the link that we have for you in the show notes.
The Warp 560 accelerator we've talked about before, but that has gone or is going into production now. And that's great news for anyone who's been looking for a ridiculous amount of power for your Amiga 500. It's, as the name suggests, it's an 060 with, you know, the usual these days add-ons like compact flash ports and a few other goodies on the board there. It's really an excellent, essentially an alternative to the Vampire, really, but, with classic 68K on it. Fantastic looking board. And yeah, if you're into a ridiculously powerful Amiga 500, that's one to look out for. I believe as well that once this is sort of underway, that it will be ported to work on the 1200, which is great news as well for people looking for an 060 on the 1200.
This is amazing. The most common Amiga platform is probably the Amiga 500.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's mental.
Eyebrows 2.5 has been released to much acclaim. It has a lot of new features, such as up-to-date SSL support, PPC native support, updated MUI integrations, such as context-sensitive mouse pointers. There are performance improvements, support for large file downloads above 4 gigabytes, hundreds of other minor and major bug fixes and improvements, and you can download a free demo now or buy it at eyebrows-dev.net. Much anticipated.
It's a big one, all right. For the classic stuff, and even occasionally on OS4, I use Eyebrows because it's just stupid quick for websites that it does support. Like, it doesn't do HTML5, and it doesn't do
CSS.
God, what's wrong with me today? CSS, thank you, Luke. Sorry, but yeah, so it's still a little primitive in those kind of ways, but it's, you know, at least you can access these sites now, because so many sites were depending on SSL and TLS, and they just plain flat out wouldn't work with the older browsers. So this is great now to be able to actually see that. And we've seen a couple of Facebook posts from people from Eyebrows, which is bizarre, you know, but yeah, it works just about. And it's got years and years in the pipeline, so great to see it's finally seen the light of day.
To be honest, 13 years. I remember 2.4 was released in December 2006.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's show some support.
There's been an update for Amiga Amp as well. So this is one of these programs that's sort of been going a long, long time. It's essentially an Amiga take on the Winamp interface and the Winamp idea. And so it does have a sort of a minimal option for the GUI, but it really, you know, its strengths are in it's fully skinnable and customizable. And it has if you have the horsepower behind it, you can have pretty much the same experience as the classic Winamp. This is sort of more of a maintenance fix. It'll just be some code tidy ups, a few fixes for plugins and fixes for minor bugs along the way. So, all the power users will probably be familiar with it. It's well worth a look if you haven't seen it before.
And a new release for Aros, Icon Poser 1.0 has been released. And this is for creating dual state Aros compatible icons. It started off actually as an internal tool for the developers, but there was wider interest in it, so it's been polished up and released. So if you'd like to make those lovely dual state Amiga icons that I miss so much on the modern systems, you can do it now for Aros using this. Next up, games. Turbo Tomato. Vegetables have never been so much fun. Turbo Tomato works on any 1 megabyte Amiga. and was created by John Gervin. It's described as incomplete, but only just. So this is actually a very fun game I've been playing on UAE just in the last few days there. It's kind of a top-down thing, sort of maybe like Sensible Soccer, and you are a tomato, and you have enemies all around you, and you have to pick up these bombs that sort of appear and throw them at the enemies. But the bombs have timers, varying timers on them, and when the time runs out, they'll explode and kill you if you haven't thrown it on time. So it's a frantic fun. It's one of those games, I suppose, like Skid Marks, and you know those games that kind of make you laugh a bit because they're a bit frantic and silly. So this is a really fun game, and it has multiplayer options, so it looks like something that would be a really good option for Amiga Ireland for a event like that.
So check that out. Metro Siege is a sort of it's a brawler, beat 'em up kind of game, like sort of Beats of Rage sort of style. And this is sort of appeared from kind of from nowhere, really. And it's actually looks really, really good, and is supposed to run on an Amiga 500. So some excellent work with the color palette and the graphic, the artwork that's gone into it. You know, it's been really carefully put together to look excellent. And it really does look good. Definitely check it out. Check out the videos of it. So as far as I know, it's not actually out yet, but it's looking really sort of, even at this stage, looking really polished.
Guys responsible for Worthy.
Yeah.
Are responsible for this game as well. So
so some good heritage there.
Pixel Glass, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And good experience.
Yeah. That's them.
Right. Another one that is being ported actually to Amiga. Pretty powerful Amiga, for example, like Vampire, or at least 060 Diablo. Guys, Diablo, you remember this one from the late 90s, probably.
Absolutely.
And Artur Jarosik, I think, is working on the port of Diablo for Vampire, so I'm sure it can be adjusted very easily to 060 as well, and it's got to be running on 060. So far, there have been, you know, like some videos showing how the game works, and I must say I'm pretty excited because it runs really smoothly and it runs really well. So if you like games of that type, go and have a look, or get yourself a Vampire or 060.
There were rumours of ports for MorphOS and OS4 as well, but I don't know if that's actually come to anything. But it's worth keeping an eye on anyway.
Yeah.
Because the 060 version would probably run on those platforms anyway.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about it as well, yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of the big classics that's up there with sort of Doom, Quake kind of scale of game,
that's,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah. It's excellent.
Now I look forward to Fallout.
Yeah,
that's another one. Yeah, Fallout one and two.
Yeah,
because I think it is doable. It is really doable because there is a version macOS 9, as far as I remember.
Yeah,
so it should be doable to you know, like to run it on Amiga as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even 060 or Vampire. So Fallout. That's another one.
We have to start.
That would be absolutely brilliant.
Start prodding all these developers who seem to be pretty talented when it comes to these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Another game release, Worm Wars, has been released for Amiga OS 3 and 4, as well as Morphos and Aros. This is a 2 megabyte of RAM game, and it's by James Jacobs, with an Aros port by Caveman. And this is another pretty decent looking game. And you can visit oneemu.net to view that one, and we have the link in the show notes.
Wonder Girl in Monster Place is a new platform game that's in development at the moment. This, you know, you probably guess what this, or you can imagine what this looks like from the title, but it's looking very polished already. Yeah, what can I say? I'm looking forward to seeing this when it comes out, because it really looks like it could be good.
And another game, this game is actually for C64. The title of the game is The Shadow Over Hawksmill. And it's a platformer. And it's got that style of City Hulu or Indiana Jones. So go and have a look. The link is the show notes.
4 unreleased Dutch games by 2 members from Switch named Geert Jan and Johan have been resurfaced and released, and they're actually pretty decent looking games, and they were that was announced on the EAB forum, among other places, and we have the link there for you in the show notes as well. So 4 nice new looking games there to try out.
I've seen a news item regarding those Dutch games.
And finally for the game section, Psycho Tic-Tac-Toe 68K, a first attempt at a game by this developer. It actually looks quite good. Contributions are welcome from the AI side of things as well. And that's released on Aminet under the name tictactoe.lha. Right, let's go on to discoveries. My first discovery this month is an article on cross-compilation for Amiga using Windows, Mac, or Linux. So there's something for everybody here in this article. I was actually talking to Carl Jekyll about doing a workshop on cross-compilation, so I went off to look into it a bit more to see what might be involved or anything, you know, I should be preparing. It turns out this article, these articles are actually written by Midwan of Amiberry, who gave a workshop last year. So if you're interested in cross-compilation, these articles here by Midwan on blitterstudio.com cover all those systems. And if you want to learn more about cross-compilation and actually get your hands dirty, you can come to Amiga Ireland in January and do a workshop with Carl.
Amiga Revive is a new Amiga website. So this is blog slash, you know, sort of news articles kind of feel to it. Some nice articles up there at the moment and, you know, some good write-ups on the upcoming stuff in the Amiga community and the Amiga world in general.
Yeah, I think it's a Dutch website, but it's still written in English.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Another one. This news item is... Doom, or like a something in between Doom and Wolfenstein 3D game running on Amiga 500. And it's been running really smoothly, to be honest. The guy who's responsible for the engine is a Polish demo scene coder, and he's been working on it steadily for quite some time. Some time ago, he showed an engine in one of his demos of Doom, and it was pretty good achievement. So everyone around the demo scene was saying that that engine actually is one of the fastest, if not the fastest, engine for, you know, like a Doom clone. Pretty impressive at that time, and I think that was somewhere around 2013 or 2015, something like that, I think. And now he has just given a presentation of his upcoming game for Amiga 500. And I must say, it looks pretty impressive, taking into consideration it's a 1 megabyte Amiga 500. So the link will be in the show notes. And once again, pretty impressive stuff.
I'm looking at this now and I cannot believe what I'm seeing.
It's pretty serious, all right.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Even there's, you know, like the sky moves, you know, the clouds.
It's the kind of work that's been optimized to take into account fractions of a line on the display, you know, the display clocks. It's mental stuff.
It's just unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
I can't stop watching. This is unbelievable.
code porn.
Okay, we'll have to move on anyway. KA Plus magazine are now selling t-shirts with their attractive cover art on the covers. And in their latest issue, actually, their magazine, they interview Volker Wertig. So a good looking, another good looking issue coming out. It's actually a really good idea. They've got beautiful cover art on all of their issues. So putting it on t-shirts is a really good idea. And I'm looking at the Spy versus Spy one at the moment, actually, which I think I'm going to have no choice but to order.
Yeah, that's a great idea because they always have cover art is the right phrase for it. They're always works of art. They're really, really good. Really, really good, you know, eye-catching designs on their covers. So that's a great idea.
Unique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I have spent a lot of time in airports over the last month. And so I've been finally getting around to reading the Commodore trilogy by Brian Bagnell, or the second and third books I've been reading recently. So I'm on the final years. Generally thought I was reasonably well clued in on all the Amiga stuff that did and didn't happen, you know, as regards machines. But I'd never heard of the Amiga 250, which was an idea to release a games console to challenge the NES. So this was going to be a machine that was based on the Amiga 500, which was just new at the time. And it was going to take cartridges and essentially be a cut-down Amiga 500. So it would have had, at the time, pretty phenomenal graphics for a game system, you know, to go up against the NES. Yeah, and it was going to be called the A250, or at least it was, you know, that's what it was called internally. But it got to sort of a breadboarding kind of stage and a bit of a prototype, but the money needed to sort of to put on the line for developing the cartridges and the cartridge system for it was too much and it was canned. Things could have been very, very different.
It's like watching a Gaelic football match where the deciding goal will change everything, but it keeps hitting the post.
Right. We've got another one. And it's about an Amiga BBS, all about Commodore and Amiga. This BBS has been running really nicely for the past 7 years. If you go to show notes, you'll have a link and there will be address of the BBS. The funny thing is you can actually still call them using your phone. Not many BBSs, I think, are able or allow you actually to do that. So that was my discovery as well for tonight.
I mean, people don't even have landlines these days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a project actually going on in the museum at the moment where, do you remember those old telephone boxes? They, you know, used to step into, close the door behind you and put coins in and dial a number. Mm. Well, we've got one of those in the museum now.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And it's basically, everything works as originally it did. But at the final point where the call and connection is made, it's connected to a SIM card.
That's awesome. Device.
So, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. So you still pay to make your phone call with the old hardware, but the ultimate carrier is modern tech. Another discovery of mine on the subject of cross-compilation. I was in the Amiga-IE chat room, and one of the members, Phil, came in and started wondering about development on Amiga. And within a day, he had gotten some cross-compilation working, and writing to a window on a screen of its own and stuff like that. So he shared this link with me, and actually, sorry, Phil, I never mentioned I was going to include it, but I decided to include it since it's already a theme. This cross-compiler runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and also produces an ADF for you. So you can just, when you finish compiling, you've actually got an ADF to upload. Sweet. Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, so good work there, Phil. Another discovery, Belgian Amiga Club's Amiga-compatible website incorporates Facebook content and makes their site viewable for really old browsers. So they've got a text mode is the most basic one. One level up, you've got what they call low-end Amiga. That's an option you can click on, but it tries to detect your setup. Then there's high-end Amiga, and then there's a modern browsing experience. So they're the kind of the four levels. And one interesting thing is that the HTML files actually for the code, the files are bigger for the farther back you go, maybe with the exception of the text one. But the files are actually smaller for the more modern version. But the images, basically they're more dithered and smaller, file size for the images for the older system. It's really clever. It looks good on all of them and they've used tables, to achieve that. So that's a really clever idea, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, I think anyone with an Amiga website should take a look at their site and see what they did there. And including the Facebook feed, they say they got the idea so that people on their Amiga machines could see what's going on in the Facebook group, even though they can't access Facebook on their old browser in the Amiga. Very clever. Okay, let's move on to events. Xenium 2019 has just wrapped up in Katowice in Poland, and this was a demo party, and they've announced winners in categories like Amiga Demo, Old School Intro, and some PC stuff as well. So you can see their first, second, and third results on puwe.net, and we've got the link to that here for you.
Yep, another one took place in Sweden, Datastorm 2019. And some really great demos, both for Amiga and C64, especially actually for C64, like a very nice Last Ninja. There are similarities of that game. The demo was inspired by Last Ninja game, so... have a look if you're into demo scene. That's it's a must.
Cool, yeah, it's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
On the first Friday of September, the Commodore group will be meeting up and we'll be connecting up all the Amigas, all the Commodore machines using the projectors. And we might even turn on another few machines while we're at it. So that's going to be between 6 and 8 p.m. And feel free to come along or send me an email if you've any queries.
Awesome. I do have one more to add. Just this weekend as well, the 8th of September, the Scottish Amiga User Group are going to have a meetup on the East Coast this time. So for anyone over Fife, Dunfermline, Edinburgh kind of direction, there'll be a meetup in Rosyth Rugby Club on Sunday, the 8th of September at 1 p.m.
Lovely. More power to you. Right, let's move on to Ask Amiga.
Okay, so there's a question a little while ago on the Retro Computing Stack Exchange, and it was asking sort of what options were available for having an Amiga 1000 fitted with a kickstart. There are a few options for doing that, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about the 1000 kickstart in general. So I'm sure a lot of people are aware, but there isn't actually a kickstart in the Amiga 1000. So it has to be loaded from disk before you load the workbench disk. So this was basically because the Kickstart chips weren't ready. The Kickstart itself wasn't finished when the Amiga 1000 launched. So instead of the actual ROM chips, it has a special extra chunk of memory that is loaded from disk with a special boot ROM. And basically that chunk of memory then acts as the Kickstart. So effectively it loads the Kickstart from floppy disk and then boots from it. So it's kind of, in a way, the way things are going now again with, sort of OS 3.9 and 3.1.4, if you don't have the ROMs, is that you load the kickstart from disk and then you reboot. So then it's running in RAM. So that was, it was a nice solution, but it added a lot of money to the Amiga 1000 at the time. But, so that was the situation with that. But, there were some interesting hacks around that could, actually use that memory for their own purposes. So mostly sort of demos, and I don't know if any games actually used it, but it's more of a proof of concept. But that RAM, expensive as it was mostly useless if you weren't using the Kickstart. So because it was basically taking up the space of the Kickstart. But it was an interesting workaround for not having the operating system finished at the time. To actually fit a kickstart to the Amiga 1000, there are a few ways of doing it. And there are various, like I said before, hardware solutions. So there are some that just literally plug into the bootstrap kickstart sockets. And, you have a couple of extra wires going here and there. There are some that fit into the CPU socket. And again, you can put a normal, Amiga 500 kickstart ROM in there. And then you've got a couple of, accelerators that can plug in, that have their own kickstarts built in. So the likes of the ACA 500 and the Vampire, if you plug them into the Amiga 1000, they kind of take over that functionality and, load the kickstart themselves. So you don't actually need a physical kickstart on the board. So there are a few ways around that, but, it was an interesting kind of solution. And it's interesting to see the way things are going back that way now.
We've got some online activity coming up next. Our top tweet on Facebook was a response to the previous podcast from Pixel Vixen, who enjoyed the version of the Final Fight theme Lost in Time by Psylocke. I completely agree, Pixel. I've been playing it a lot myself, especially on a holiday to Japan, where it went down even better. It seemed to just blend in with the surroundings. Our top Facebook post was by Seamus, and the question was simply, Monkey Island or Simon the Sorcerer? Pick one. Actually, let's see what kind of answers. We got James Whelan, Monkey Island for sure. Erland Dahl, Simon, no question. Graham Thompson, Monkey Island every time. Matty Whittle, Simon, the talkie version. Alan Kerrigine, Monkey. Amigan or Klaus, both. Amigan or Klaus, that's cheating. Aidan Doyle, you're evil. Ian Griffiths, don't do this to be Seamus. Gavin Byrne, Monkey Island is a much tighter game. Simon has some lovely visuals, but I remember some puzzles requiring you to pick up an item that was just one pixel in size. Yeah, that's fair enough.
For me, it has to be Monkey Island.
Right. Yeah.
Just I think, memories, but both excellent games.
Yeah, I think it's Monkey Island for me too. I don't know, is it because it's a fundamentally better game or just because I love the atmosphere and the humour? Let's see, what else we got? Richard Troop, Monkey Island. Alexander Haselbacher, already have Monkey Island, easy pick for me. Stephen Deborah Dowden, Mr. Do. Mm-hmm. And John Kerrigan, Monkey Island for sure. There we go, I think Monkey Island has it there. And we've got some new members in the group, so hello to
Glauco, Mauro, Barry, Morgan, and Sasha Norman.
Nikos Polizonis, I have to apologise because I have no idea if that's how it should be pronounced. Niels Peter Franson and Sven Hoffman.
And my Taiwanese is non-existent, but Fromosan Bear. Yeah, you're very welcome to the group. John Kerrigan, Diego Arevalo. So that's all from us for this month. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with a very short clip just to let you know when tickets go on sale, which is happening this month. They're going on sale for Amiga Ireland 2020 in January. I think there's just one last workshop to pin down, and then we're ready to go. So very close. So until next time.
Music was by Virtual Dimension and Banjo Gaioli.
And please leave us a review wherever you find us.
The song of the month this month is Lethal Excess Main Menu by Jochen Hippel. Bye for now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
dear Lord, I need sleep.